Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to take a look at training your dog on the show today. We'll cover some of the top commands your dog should know. George Malera is back with us to talk about that with you, and it's always great to have him stop by. And, you know, it's not a bad idea to talk about our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive as well, because we're right in the midst of it. The largest source of our funding for our shows comes from people just like you, and this drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. So I hope you'll take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Jill, dog lover,
<That's>
Nadeau.
<me. laughs>
Jill, the dog lover, Nadeau, our executive producer, one of my many bosses here at the Ideas Network, joins me today to keep an eye on me and make sure I run the straight and narrow here as we talk about funding and your support. And Jill, do we have any incentives for our listeners today?
Funny you should mention that, Larry, because we do. We have a dollar-for-dollar match, and I know we both love that.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, it's up to $3,500, which is a lot. And this match comes from current members, including a member in Cobb, and it means that they'll match every dollar that you give.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So you can double your support right now. It's a great opportunity at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And you won't be lonely if you do that, because we have more than 50,000 other members and they've pooled together. And your support obviously makes the largest source of funding for WPR programs.
Your support, very powerful. You make possible all of the WPR programs you enjoy. And that's so many others do as well. So make your gift right now. You choose the amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. What if they've never given before, Jill?
Well, it's hard to imagine that no one has. But you know what? If you look forward to listening every day to WPR, and I know a lot of people out there do that, and it's a sign that you really should donate. And when you spend that much time with WPR, well, it means it's important to you.
And you're important to us because WPR is listener-supported radio. We count on financial dollars from people just like you, people who care about independent news, conversation, and music. And let's say your gift is $100 or maybe $10 a month or whatever amount feels right for you. It all really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
My life would be diminished without Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, I wouldn't want to do without it.
It's just a comfort to me to have it on while I'm making dinner. And it
gives you a whole different perspective on things.
Many, many times I've listened to the radio and it's made me laugh or cry.
Wisconsin Public Radio is
my source for connecting to the world.
For everything I like to hear on the radio.
For everyday listening.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation this fall member drive. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. The WPR programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support and your contribution of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose. It does make a difference for our entire community.
It really, really does. You know, supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we really need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and, well, of course, how you'd like to pay for it.
Of course. Your gift, your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And remember, we do have that dollar-for-dollar match right now in this hour. It's $3,500. So go ahead and take advantage of that. So give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support's going to go twice as far.
And while you're at it, you can ask for the new WPR baseball cap when you give $15 a month or more. Jill might be able to tell you that I'm wearing one of them right now.
And you look so dapper, Larry.
I know.
and a WPR shirt, too. This guy is over the top.
I am over the top for WPR. But the cap, it's a retro embroidered radio and has this WPR branding, I guess they call it.
Yeah.
And there's a little radio on it.
It is. It's a radio, like a transistor radio kind of thing, or something you see from the 60s.
I think they had me in mind when they
I'm sure they did. In fact, that might be your radio.
I had one kind of like it, to be perfectly honest.
So did I. I'm not going to admit it.
But it's a cool hat. I like the color. It's kind of, what do you call it? Teal?
It's a pale green, actually.
Pale green.
Very nice selection. Kudos to whoever decided on that color.
You can join me. If I see you with a WPR baseball cap on, I'm going to come over and give you a big hug.
Oh. That's for sure.
Well,
maybe Larry.
I'll ask first.
There you go.
I'll ask first.
How about a high five? You give him a high five.
I'll give a high five.
There you go.
That might be better than the hug. You're right about that. I don't want to get slugged by somebody.
That's right. So I'm here, Larry, to keep you in line. So
how do you get one of these caps? Well, it's easy. It's just $15 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't worry that if you're a sustainer, which you should if you're not, right, you can become one right now, you still will have a chance to do that. You just have to talk to our lovely people in our phone number that I'm going to give you in a second. It's easy to set up, and you'll just have ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or maybe a credit card. So just go to WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552, and you're going to provide reliable service support. Reliable support for the programs you love. Oh, my gosh. Jonathan in Mesa, Maine, he says, I am a Larry Mueller Show fan and really enjoy the Wisconsin focus of his show. Yay, Jonathan.
Yeah, Jonathan, thank you so much. And what about you? Your gift right now is so important. Go to WPR.org and make your contribution, or just call 888-202-2552, and thank you so much. Well, George Malera is our guest today, and we're going to have some fun with your... Hi, George.
What's up, Larry? So nice to see you both in studio. This is so fun.
Yeah, it's the first time all three of us have been together in the studio, which is really cool. I suppose I should mention the things that George is going to talk about, but training is so, so, so important. Maybe you've recently adopted a new puppy. Maybe you've got a surrender dog. There are lots of reasons why you need to do some training and teaching. And if you have a question, I hope you'll call at 800-642-1234. It's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. And let's talk about Galapagos. You went to the Galapagos to train dogs.
Get there. It is magic.
How'd you get invited?
So I got to work with this really wonderful company called Animal Balance. Animal Balance provides veterinary care and clinic care to a lot of dogs in the Southwest, as well as they have a clinic on Isabella Island in the Galapagos. I went there as a bilingual dog trainer to do community outreach to teach more about behavior. They're growing so much that they are able to bring a trainer out to the island to talk more about behavior. So while the veterinarians were doing spay-neuter programs and administering flea and tick preventatives, I had the opportunity to speak with the locals about dog training and behavior. There's a lot of bikes and motorcycles on the island, and there are some dogs that do like to chase them. And so educating people on how to better keep their dogs in check when they're keeping them on their property and rewarding them for being close to them, as well as dealing with other variety of issues like reactivity and, arguing with other dogs and the like. It was such a wonderful trip. So I got to go there and visit with tortoises, which was on my bucket list. I'm blessed to be able to check that off nice and early.
So have you got a success story for us?
Oh, yeah. There was this one dog that we worked with where it was actually a medical issue masquerading as a behavioral issue. This dog started attacking its family when they would go to pet it or touch it. and the dog had a ruptured disc in its spine from jumping off a wall. So we had one of the veterinarians take a look at it. They provided some, this happened earlier in the week, so they gave it some anti-inflammatories and gave him a cortisone shot. And from there, the dog got much better. And towards the end of the week, the aggression subsided. And that's something important to remember, that not all behavioral issues are necessarily behavioral. The behavior could be happening because there's something medical going on.
You know, Mike in Oregon has a question. Let's just go there. Mike, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Larry. I've got a 2.5-year-old English Labrador. He's a great dog, but when he's on leash or he's in his yard, he gets very aggressive at bicyclists or other dogs or people going by. I mean, I can barely hold him back. He just goes ballistic, and it's scary for them and for me. And, you know, he's still somewhat young yet. I've tried treats, you know, and having him sit when it's almost going to come by and, like, keep his attention, and it works somewhat. But it's getting to the point where I don't know what to do. He's getting too aggressive. Do you have any good rules of thumb there?
Absolutely. For the moments where he spends time in your yard, I want you to think about like a latchkey kid, right? If he's out there on his own, he's just going to be barking and lunging at the fence or whoever's going by. So what's happening there is that he's rehearsing the behavior. And even though nobody's giving him a treat or a cookie for barking, he's still being rewarded by those people leaving the vicinity. Now, when you're on a walk with him and he starts to bark and lunge, and it's going to seem counterintuitive, but what I want you to do is carry treats. And anytime your pup sees another dog or a cyclist, whatever the stimulus is, you're going to feed him treats and really reach for the really yummy treats. So chicken, cheese, turkey, roast beef, hot dogs should be at the top of the list for the rewards you're going to dole out to him. And then what you're going to do is you're going to start pairing. Anytime he sees the cyclist, you're going to feed him. The knee-jerk reaction is to punish a behavior like that. But if we jerk the leash and say, hey, hey, knock it off, he already doesn't like it. He's just going to think you don't like it even more. So by pairing it with food, we're teaching him to make that association. And then over time, it ends up being similar to a scavenger hunt, where he sees a cyclist or a person or a dog, and then he's going to see it and then turn to you and say, hey, don't I get a treat for one of those?
That makes really good sense. Mike, thanks very much for calling. You know, that sort of goes to your philosophy about training, doesn't it?
Correct. Absolutely. The science that we know now about dogs and how intelligent most breeds are. They're just really intelligent. And you get a lot more with building trust and building good associations. When I was doing the promo for the book club, I talked about one of my favorite books, which is The Culture Clash by Gene Donaldson, and how there's these we have this culture clash between dogs and us, where we say one thing, but the dog is interpreting it as something completely different. And the behavior doesn't get better because of that. One of the most simple things that I teach in training is be careful with what you reward. So if my dog is jumping up and jumping up and jumping up, and I say, off, 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 sit. And then I say, good dog, treat. Well, I'm treating the sit, but I'm inadvertently rewarding the jump. So if you interview that dog, you say, hey, do you know how to sit, Sparky? And Sparky says, of course I do. First I jump up and I punch you in the stomach, and then I sit. Because you put those behaviors together.
Well, speaking of potential behavior issue, Joan in Madison, I think, has one with Joan's dog. Joan, what's up?
Hello, George.
Hello. Yeah,
it's Maisie's mother.
Oh, Maisie. Joan, how are you?
Okay. Maisie's barking even more. She barks for attention. She barks when she's bored. She barks when anybody comes or is in the yard. And, you know, I just don't know. And somebody comes driving in the garage, she barks. Just any excuse.
Right. Well, if you recall, some of the tips that I gave you were to make sure that when these things are occurring, so even when your lovely family comes to visit, you know, having treats at the ready so that when the doorbell, you think of the ritual of somebody coming over, some dogs will hear the car door, some dogs will hear the car keys, some dogs will definitely hear the doorbell or knocking. And these rituals can sort of create and exacerbate the problem. So maybe having visitors before they before they arrive, shoot you a quick little text or give you a call on the phone. This way you can just meet them at the door so you can bisect some of the ritual that causes all that reactivity. And then in the house, I know that we talked a lot about her fearfulness. One of the big things is making sure that the people that are coming in the house are doling out those treats. One of my favorite techniques to use with dogs that are fearful is you give them two or three treats if they're willing to take them from your hand, and then you toss one far away. Then the dog has to go get that treat. And what do they have to do to get more food? Return to the person with the food. So you're actually rewarding for them for doing an appropriate approach. And their mindset changes from being scared, stranger danger, to food acquisition. And that's what we want.
Good luck, Joan. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. George Malera, our guest, and soaking in all this great information is Jill Nadeau, because she's got Seamus.
I do have Seamus. And Seamus is a sweetie pie, but he's smarter than I probably am.
Well, and here we are in our fall member drive. Is that our fall member? Yeah, it's our fall member
drive.
It is.
Last time I checked, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as you listen to us talk, think about this. You rely on WPR for information, for great discussions, and we rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
And that's because listener support, it's the largest source of funding for WPR programs. In case you didn't realize that, we get more of our money from you all than anywhere else. And that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And the cool thing is we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including a member from Cobb, Wisconsin. Your gift, let's say it's $50. Well, it turns into $100. Your $100 gift turns into $200 and so forth. Take advantage of this match and double your support for our WPR programs. When you give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And I heard from up above that we have only $240 in so far, Larry. That leaves $3,260 on the table yet. So people need to start thinking about matching that and giving us a little donation there. So every member drive, listeners from all over the country and even the world. We have a friend out in New Zealand, right, Larry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People from Texas, Alaska, Japan, Germany.
Mexico.
That's right. Yep. They tell us that they found something special right here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
And your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, it makes the WPR what it is, a resource that you enjoy and one that people really treasure around the state, around the country, and the world.
They certainly do. And the easiest way to make that your support for WPR is to always be current, and that is to become a sustainer. And that means that your monthly gift, whether it's $10 a month or $100 a month or any amount that you choose, continues month after month and year after year. So get started right now. It feels great at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This member drive, ask for the new WPR baseball cap with your gift of $15 a month. This stylish light green hat is a perfect way to cover up a bad hair day, keep the sun off your face, or add pizzazz to your outfit.
Being that it's a hat, I think you've got to be realistic and you're going to have to wear this on your head.
The words Wisconsin Public Radio span across the top in an arch. It's got a really cool vintage look that's definitely in style.
Ooh, I like this hat.
I love this new WPR hat because, one, it's green, my favorite color, and two, I am a sucker for a really slick-looking retro radio.
My hair is long enough to ponytail and sneak it through that hole in the back, so baseball caps are fun.
Ask for your WPR baseball cap and wear it with pride, knowing that you're not just sporting another fashion accessory. You're supporting the in-depth reporting and smart entertainment our community relies on. Give $15 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support's our biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it really has an important impact.
It really, really does, and we have that dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,500 in effect right now. Latest update, we have $2,910 left to go on that, so you still have time to get your match your donation match. It's a great time to donate because current members, including a member in Cobb, will double every dollar you give. Larry, where's Cobb?
Cobb, Wisconsin is in Wisconsin.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate that. You're so knowledgeable. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And I've been to Cobb, but I just don't
remember
where
it is. I figured you would be, Larry. You've been everywhere.
Oh, man. You know, how much money do we spend going out for dinner or for drinks? You know, you could easily spend $20, maybe every single weekend, or like some of us,
every
other night.
I wish I only spent $20 every weekend.
You know, in the greater scheme of things, $20 isn't a big expense, especially if it's just once a month.
That's right. We've got inflation, so, you know, it doesn't buy what it used to. But that's why we ask you to give $20 a month for your WPR listening on its own. $20 might not feel like a whole lot, but when you give it monthly, it really adds up for the programs that keep you informed and inspired every day. So make your gift now, $20 a month, or, you know what, you choose the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you are a sustaining member, I want to thank you so much for that. Maybe make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Louise in Wauwatosa says, Larry, you are the best. You fill my life with joy, curiosity, and awe with your wonderful guests and interviews and empathy. Aw.
Louise, you're the best. Thank you so much. Listen, join Louise with your gift right now. It's important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're taking a look at training your dog on the show today with our guest, George Malera. George, a professional dog trainer. He is the owner of Divine Canine in Madison. Questions, give a call at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Or shoot an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Amy from Milwaukee emailed us, if treating to distract your dog while on a walk and giving the high-value treats, aren't you feeding your dog too much? Won't they gain too much weight?
That's a great question. And you can always cut back in other places. I personally find feeding dogs out of bowls to be a little bit mindless, right? All dogs were bred to have certain jobs. And calories in, calories out, right? We have to make sure what our dogs are eating, that we're not overdoing it. I think she's absolutely correct. So what you can do is just cut back their breakfast or dinner a little bit and use those extra calories for when you're on a walk and bump it up to a high-value treat that is going to also be healthy for your dogs. A lot of pet stores will carry freeze-dried chicken hearts, freeze-dried beef liver, all really perfectly pure protein for your dogs that they can eat, and they can eat quite a good amount of it without getting too many calories. And they're, you know, active young dogs, they're going to need it.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Well, you know, we were talking earlier about five different training tips, things that every dog owner should have. And I imagine setting, teaching a dog to sit. Where do you start with that?
Well, teaching a dog to sit, I've actually pretty much omitted it from my curriculum. It's become a behavior that's somewhat useless to a dog. There are more important things that are valuable. So the first one would be a recall. Right, teaching your dog to come when called.
Okay.
If you have equipment failure, you're at the park and there's a dog, an argument, or if your dog gets distracted and starts running off, being able to call your dog from a distance and have them come lickety split. Crate training. Crate training is not necessarily a command or something we need our dogs to we want them to be comfortable in their crates, and not only comfortable in their crates when you're not home, but also when you are home. A lot of dogs suffer from FOMO, right? Dog's mm-hmm. in the crate and you're banging around in the kitchen and the dog's like, hey, don't forget about me, right? So we want to make sure that dogs are comfortable being in their crates, both when you're home and when you're not home. A crate can be a wonderful tool. God forbid there's an emergency or your dog sustains an injury or is sick and needs to be confined.
Yeah.
We don't want to have to layer that with the fear or the anxiety of being in a crate. So you can actually layer that.
So there are a couple of things. Well, let's talk about recall a little bit more. How do we get our dog to come when you call?
So one of the things I talk about, especially with puppies, is that if you think about dogs, they already come pre-programmed knowing to do everything we want them to do. We just have to apply labels and create value for those behaviors. So if we were to take a dog's head and open it up, we would look inside their brain and we would see bookshelves. And on the books, instead of books, there would be piggy banks. And each piggy bank has a label. Sit, down, stay, come, roll over, play dead, chase the cat, chew on the molding, poop on the floor. They have all the commands are there. And we have the luxury and the privilege to go ahead and put treats in the piggy banks that we want to have value. So the more treats you put in the recall piggy bank, the better that behavior will be, the stronger it will get. Remember, reinforcement means make it stronger.
So when you, Lila, let's say, I'm taking care of a dog that is the most wonderful dog.
I know you love your Lila.
I love Lila. And she would always come back. But what if she didn't? I mean, what if Lila was one of those dogs and Lila runs away and Lila, come!
Right. So there's two types of dogs that will run away. One is out of fear and one is out of play. So the dogs that run away because they're being playful and they're playing keep away because they don't want to have their collar held because they don't want to go home, what I would do is make some noise, high-pitched noise, say their name, clap, 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 and run away from them. That's going to tap into their prey response and want to chase you. And then when they chase you, you grab their collar, you give them a bunch of treats, and then you send them off again, and then you run away again. And this is like one of my favorite games to play with puppies because puppies already have this natural instinct to chase. So you just do a little bit, you goose them a little bit, you sort of play with them a little, and you take off running. And they're like, okay, I'm coming. And they come running after you. And then you grab their collar, give them a bunch of treats, and then you run away again. So that you're reinforcing them coming to you versus them mm-hmm. running away from you.
That makes perfect sense. I was thinking about Lila. There was a dog that came running up to her, supposed to be on a leash, but it wasn't. And it was growling and ran right up to her and barked right in her face. And Lila just sat there looking at her, looking at the other dog. And the other dog, I think, was amazed because Lila didn't bark back or Lila didn't make any kind of aggressive mood. And the dog actually stopped.
That's amazing.
It's a behavior.
And they have a complete language all to their own. And that's actually on my list. It's so funny you mentioned that. For people to learn a little bit about dog body language. You know, if you're traveling to another country, right, it's polite to learn the please, thank yous, and where's the bathroom? And, you know, just the basics of another language. It shows respect. And we can do this. We can show the same respect for our dogs by just learning a little bit about body language, a little bit about what they're saying. Because a lot of times people will call a behavior something that it isn't because we only can interpret it as a human. So we say stubborn when it's actually lack of understanding. We say the dog is being dominant when it's actually being fearful. And I see this a lot with resource guarding. When a dog guards its food, the dog will growl and show aggression. But everything else says fear because they're low and their ears are back and they're frightened of having their food or their bone taken away. So I love the idea of teaching people how to look at their body language and learn a little bit more. There's a beautiful photographic guide by a beautiful dog trainer named Brenda Aloff, a photographic guide to dog behavior, I believe it is. What a wonderful photographic journal it is just to be able to go, oh, that's what that means. Oh, that's what that means.
Barbara emailed us, kind of goes along with this a little, I guess. She's become very wary of dogs on her walks, as there are so many owners who use retractable leashes, dogs that jump, and worst of all, unleashed dogs, like the dog I was just talking about. Of the latter group, she's mentioned to owners that she is not fond of unleashed dogs. The response, oh, I'm sorry, but continue the daily walk without a leash. In Madison, is you're breaking the law if you do that.
Absolutely. And you really don't know what that other dog's personality is going to be like. So thank goodness I have a nice dog, and a lot of people have nice dogs. But what about the people like the caller earlier about their dog that doesn't like dogs? You know, you have a dog coming to him off leash. That dog could potentially be, get hurt and get attacked because they had their dog off leash. So these leash laws are there to protect your dogs. And I think everybody should have the responsibility to keep their dogs on leash. And as for retractable leashes, I have my own level of hatred towards those. They're just very, very dangerous tools that they can wrap around people's legs, cause really bad bodily harm to people and other dogs wrapping around legs. I've seen people, just hurt their dogs, so the dogs are popping at the end of the leash and collar when they get to the end of it with the retractable leash. One tip I do like to recommend for people that have smaller dogs or dogs that they experience on trails and stuff is to carry a big golf umbrella, one of the ones that you hit the button and it pops. It acts as a shield, so you can actually just pop the umbrella and hold it down and keep it between you and your dog and sort of use it as a shield to protect the dog until the other owner can come and collect their dog. And I also have a verbal tip. I've been using this one for years pre-COVID. If I have a dog running to me and I say, and they're like, oh, my dog's fine, and I still don't want my dog to interact with their dog, I just point to my dog and say, oh, she's contagious. They understand that. And it just puts a little pep in their step just to come collect their dog.
I love that. I love that idea. And I'm still amazed that a dog like Lila, I don't know what her training was. She was very, very well trained when we got her as a rescue, or when Renee got her as a rescue from Texas. But she was completely trained at about 6 years old. And to be able to, for one dog to be able to do that and sort of defuse the situation was absolutely amazing to me.
And that takes a lot of dogs, I call them the even-keeled, really grounded dogs, right? Yeah. The Matthew McConaughey dogs that are just like, all right, everything's cool. And they can get dogs to play, and they can get dogs to sort of relax, but they're sort of communicating to the other dog that, like, I'm no threat, relax, everything's cool. I wish we had more of those dogs. And for dogs to just be well-trained coming from rescue is pretty amazing, because rescue is a very stressful place for dogs, being in shelters and in rescue. It's nice when we have foster homes like what Underdog Pet Rescue does here, and they have foster homes for dogs where they can be in a home, in a loving home, where they can be on couches and sort of get a feel for the dog. But the poor dogs that are in just cages all day at different type of city shelters, it's rough for them.
Absolutely. George Bellera, our guest today, as we talk about dog training with him. And we're also in our fall member drive, and Jill Nadeau has been sitting patiently waiting for me to have her join in the conversation as we talk about your support. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the shows that you enjoy. In fact, listener support, as we've said before, it's the largest source of funding for our shows. And this drive is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And is our match still in effect, Jill?
It certainly is still in effect. And it's, of course, because of our current members and someone over there in Cobb. And I got another update. Got beamed down to me. We have $1,020 in and $2,480 left to go. So now is the perfect time for you to make that decision to be a supporter of what WPR does. And your gift of $50 will turn into $100, and $100 will turn into $200. And so take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Always always love to have George Malera with us on the show. He is a wonderful trainer, professional dog trainer, and the tips that he gives, I think, are so important. How is your life helped by this? Do you have a dog at home and you're listening to what George is talking about here and applying it to your own situation, or maybe something you can tell your son or your daughter or who else that who has a dog?
Or that crazy neighbor next door who's got
the
a dog that's
next
out of control.
Door. Oh, listen, WPR is listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this program and many other programs possible. So please choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day, it really is a great value. That's less than a cup of coffee or soda or a day of cell phone service.
It comes to about $30 a month, and you can set up a monthly transfer from your bank account or your charge card if you want to do it that way. It's fine to do it that way. But whatever you choose to do, make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm Karen from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio. I've listened to public radio since I was a law school student 33 years ago. Wherever I've moved, I've made sure that one of the first things I did was find my public radio outlet. And I'm one of those people that wants to make sure I pay my own way. I realized that the best thing about being a sustaining member is that you can just totally turn off the guilt button. One of the benefits of having sustaining members is it's a guaranteed steady flow of income to the station that allows the station to make commitments to upgrade technology and better serve the listeners. I enjoy being a sustainer, and I think you will too.
I think you will too. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support during our drive makes all these programs possible. And your gift, $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
That's right. And, you know, our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. So you can, let's see, we've got about $2,000 left, Larry,
to go.
And we've got 15 minutes left. So please take advantage of that and turn off that guilt button. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and your support for WPR will go twice as far.
And you might be thinking, gee, I wish I had a hat like Larry's got. It's the new WPR baseball cap. And when you give $15 a month or more, we'll send you one of those hats.
That's right.
It's a retro embroidered radio and WPR branding, and it's going to let the world know that you look just like Larry and you value your support of WPR. So how do you get a hat like this, a cap like this? $15 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Dominic Amequan says, I'm giving to support what I call radio encouragement. You just got that. And Larry Mueller. All right. Thanks, Dominic.
Thanks, Dominic. What about you? Join with your gift right now. It's so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Wisconsin Public Radio brings you thoughtful and engaging discussions every day. Authors, artists, politicians, and voices from around the state. You'll hear them all. And you can be part of the conversation, too, on air or online at WPR.org.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network, taking a look at dog training on the show with George Malera. George, a professional dog trainer. He is the owner of Divine Canine in Madison. Questions for him? Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a call. Karen and Jefferson, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Larry. And George, I've got questions.
Oh, I'm here to answer them.
I've listened to all your suggestions, and I'm going to put them into practice.
Wonderful.
Especially about my dog running away from me. I have an old boxer who's 15 years old, and after losing my husband, I decided I need to have another dog to keep my old dog going, which has worked.
Wonderful.
The puppy is 2.5 years old now, but he's naughty.
Mm-hmm.
I got a male. I never had a male dog. I don't know if that's the problem, but he does this jumping, especially when I come home. I volunteer, and when I come home, he is just so happy to see me, but he doesn't pay any attention to me telling him not to jump.
Right.
Now, my son, who's, 50, 60 years old, he can make a mind, and he listens to him, but he doesn't me. It's like he thinks I'm just easy.
Right.
I guess I am.
You know, one of the big things that I talk about, in people getting home from work, it's one of the greatest moments of the day, right? Your dog comes over to you and they're just so excited to see you. And most dogs, they don't care if you've been gone for 2 minutes or 2 hours. But when you get home, the jumping up can be a lot. So one thing I'd recommend is to stash a little bag of treats outside your door so that the moment you go in, you can show them the treats and get them right into the sit and start rewarding that. And the other big component when people are arriving at home is that we have a tendency to throw gasoline on the fire, and we start to squeal when we see our puppies when we get home. We go, oh, where's my baby? And we get so excited and so happy, which can cause them to get excited and start to jump. So come in cool, calm, and collected using the food to get him into that sit. And be generous with the food, right? When we're building reinforcement, we want to put all that money in that sit piggy bank, in the city bank, if you will. And we want to build that behavior. And you'll start to see him offer that more and more when you get home. But your energy and how you enter the home can be a big component as to why he's jumping. So keep it calm and keep it cool.
Good luck. Thank you so much, Karen, for calling. Appreciate it. Terry in Fifield, we go to you now. Hi, Terry.
Hey, hi. I've got about a 3-year-old Aussie doodle who knows all his commands, can do everything I want him to as long as he thinks it's a good idea.
So when we're talking about, if I had to guess, you may have done a lot of lure training where you take a treat and you hold it above his head to get him to sit or lay down. You'd lure him down to the floor. I'm not sure if you use that technique or not, but what happens a lot with dogs that pick and choose when they're doing behaviors. Number one, you have a 3-year-old dog, so he's still coming out of adolescence, so he's still going to be sort of testing the waters in terms of, like, do I want to do that behavior or not? The other big component is, where are you asking for the behaviors? A lot of people will train in the sterility of their living room, but then when they take the show on the road, they ask the dog to do the same behavior that they can do very well at home, and they ask him to do it somewhere else, the distractions might be too great for the dog to perform them elsewhere. So one thing I do mention to all my students and clients is, if you want your dog to be good everywhere, you gotta train everywhere. And when you take your dog to a new location, you're almost starting from scratch, where you have to sort of remind the dog so that the dog understands to generalize the behavior. The same behavior I do at home, I have to do at the beer garden, I have to do at the Home Depot, I have to do in other places. But you gotta take the show on the road and practice, and try not to get too frustrated with your pup when they're not performing right away. That you might have to backpedal a little bit and reteach the behavior, or just remind them what they're supposed to do. And just be consistent and be generous with the reinforcements.
Good luck. Thank you so much for calling, Terry. Vicki in Mount Horeb, we move to you. Hi, Vicki.
Hello. I have a 3-year-old rescue Sheltie. We got her when she was about 1. She's great with people, great with bikes on the bike trail, but other animals, not so great. And it's leash reactivity toward other dogs. If she isn't on the leash, she'll go running right up to him. She loves other dogs, but she can't do that. And I'm struggling with getting her to be good on the leash until I say it's okay to meet that dog.
Right.
And I've tried, what we're doing that's working much better than it used to, the same thing with squirrels, with our goats. And she seems to have a really strong herding instinct. When she approaches a dog, she does kind of the crouching herding type look. And then, you know, play and play bow and all of that when she actually, if she gets to meet them. But there are some dogs, too, that I don't know if they're giving off signals or what, but that she's just really reactive toward. Yeah. And it kind of scares me. Right now I'm trying to teach her a very good heel. And it's, you know, working well for the most part. But with other dogs, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Okay.
And I love everything that you said. You're so very, very close. I love everything that you're working on with her. And the key thing that you said was that you're dealing with this leash induced frustration, right? And you said, you know, we can't clutch our pearls and gasp at the fact that a Sheltie wants to herd and control movement. Egads, right? Right. This is what we bred them to do. Now, what we can do is we can curb some of that genetic makeup and we can give them other stuff to do, which is why I really love and adore the fact that you're teaching a nice loose leash walking. Loose leash walking, if your pup is checking in with you and looking up at you, she's not scanning the area for dogs, which is great. It's a nice alternate behavior to teach. Now, the other big component, just like we talked about with the other caller, is to feed your pup when she sees the other dog. Now, this is the big takeaway. People have a tendency to do three things when their dog is reactive on leash. They wind up on the leash, they nervously talk to the dog, and they use food as a distraction. So, and this happens when I'm walking down the street with my reactive dog. I see a dog coming down the block. And then I immediately do one of these three things. It doesn't take the dog long to learn that if I do one of those three things, that there's a dog somewhere, and they start to scan more. So just by waiting for your pup to see the other dog and then feeding, then you're going to start to see her start to make that association. When we see dogs, mom gets generous with food. I'm going to pay attention to my mom when we see dogs. Dog equals treat.
I love that idea. Vicki, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Larry Mueller here with our guest, George Malera, owner of Divine Canine in Madison, and also in the studio with me, Jill Nadeau. Because we're in our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, your gift makes a huge difference. Listeners are the largest source of funding for our shows, so I hope you'll step up right now, be counted as a supporter with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we have that dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,500. And right from Match Central, I just found out that we have gotten $1,900, so we have $1,600 to go. So that's a wonderful big increase since last time we visited here, Larry. So thank you for all who've given. And that match-to-match is... It's from current members, including a member in Cobb. So they'll double every dollar you give. I can't read today, Larry. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We just talked, I think, with four or five callers, listeners, who called in with questions for George about their dogs and dog behavior, and he did a great job of explaining what they should be doing. And for this show in particular, this is the kind of program that we like to offer during the Larry Mueller Show. And here we are, listener supported. It means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this program and many more programs possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a minute and make your gift.
And don't forget, you can get that WPR baseball cap. It's a new go-to for keeping the sun out of your face or covering up a bad hair day. Yeah, and I can't relate to that. It's available when you give $15 a month or more in support of WPR programs that we all rely on. So make your gift right now. Ask for yours, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio gives people opportunities to hear programming that they can't hear anywhere else. My greatest fear as a driver is that I'll run out of a zone where there's a public radio station, and then I have to revert to something else. But I keep coming back because of the variety. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
Penny, you are a peach. How about joining Penny? Give to Wisconsin Public Radio now. It's easy to do. Go to WPR.org and make your contribution, or phone 888-202-2552. And we're coming up to the last minute here or two of our member drive
dollar for dollar match. Yeah, Larry, I just got an update again. Oh, we're getting so close. So we've got $1,275 left that we can use to match whatever you want to give. It's from current members, including a member in Cobb. So if you give $50, it turns into $100. $100 turns into $200. You can figure the rest out. Take advantage of that match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And believe me, now's the time to do it as we get to the last minute or two here of our segment, where we still have that $1,200 to go to make our to reach our goal here of covering that dollar for dollar match. So if you really, if you haven't given yet, do it right now. Don't put it off. Do it right now. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Just takes a couple of minutes of your time, excuse me, and you're going to feel good knowing that you've done it and done it well. And Mike and Krivitz had something
That's
nice
right.
to say.
Be like Mike. WPR inspires me every day. I learn so much about our world, and that kind of says it all, doesn't it?
We'll be back with George Malera right after this look at the news. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. We're talking about training your dog today on the show. Larry Mueller here with my guest George Malera, a professional dog trainer, owner of Divine Canine in Madison. He's trained dogs for over 20 years and has been a pet behavior counselor. Questions for him, give a call right now at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. And George, we have Lottie from Silver Lake online, so let's go there. Hi, Lottie, thank you for calling.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I adopted a dog from a shelter. He was from a kill shelter in Kentucky somewhere. He's a part Beagle, part Labrador. He's going on 3 years old. I got him in May of this year. And he's very, very smart. He knows all commands. He's doing real good on all of that. My question is, what's the best way to try and train him to stay in the yard without being on a leash? I know that some people, you know, keep dogs on the leash their entire life. We do have a smaller dog that does stay in the yard. I trained him when he was a young puppy to stay in the yard without being on a leash, and he's very good at that. But I'm having a little bit of trouble with the new dog. He's a little bit skittish, I think, from being in a shelter or whatever. But he does real good walking on a leash. But once I try and let him outside the backyard to do his business, you know, he has to be on a lead. Or else he will go, you know, run the neighborhood or whatever. Just wondering your thoughts on all of that. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for calling. The idea of having a dog off leash, like, I don't know if you heard the previous caller that was talking about how some dogs, you know, people hike their dogs off leash and stuff. It can be very dangerous, point blank. You know, not only injury caused by a car or other animals, or, you know, ingesting something that's harmful to them. So having a dog off leash can be a little bit risky in general. Now, the fact that he's a little bit skittish and a little bit nervous can also cause problems in terms of the training. But one of the things I would have you do is you can purchase a 25-foot leash and exercise him in your yard and do a lot of practice of calling him to you, staying in that vicinity. So, like, if you want him to wander only 10, 15 feet off the on the property, that's when I would practice calling him back, when he's at the distance that you want him at. And then, you know, giving him a lot of reinforcement for being close to the house and not wandering too far away. I will mention, just like the nice woman that called with her Sheltie, you know, we've bred dogs to do very specific things for us. And beagles, in the industry, we call them a nose with paws. And what they want to do is just go sniff. And so many times they just sniff their way into trouble. So being cautious, make sure that your dog is microchipped. If she came from a shelter, they probably are. And making sure that the microchip is up to date. So in case they get free or loose and they get found somewhere else, that they'll be able to return them to you as quickly as possible.
So that training, I kind of like that idea with a long leash. How long would a training like that take? Probably a while, I would guess.
You know, it really has to do with the consistency of the training. Like anything in life, right?
Hmm.
You get better if you practice a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just something to keep at.
Correct.
Yeah.
And really training for all the types of distractions, too. You know, when I train with my Dolly, I make sure that I train with all sorts of stuff. So I leave little piles of I'm a very dedicated dog owner. Sometimes I will eat some chicken wings and use the bones as distractions. So that's the kind of dedication I have to training. So I'll put little piles of treats around and we walk around the yard and she has to leave them automatically. And she doesn't know where they're going to be or if they're going to be out at all. So you have to take training. I make training hard to make life seem easy.
Okay. Good luck, Lottie. Thank you for calling. Barb in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Barb.
Yes. My son's dog, Eska, a 3-year-old shepherd, visits, and she likes to bark at the dogs on the television. I can't, and she stands up on her hind legs and tries to get at them, and it's quite obnoxious.
The other thing I'll mention is, and I think all dog trainers would agree with me, if they could stop putting doorbells on TV shows, that'd be great. The doorbells on TV shows and dogs barking, I find this to be really, really interesting because not all dogs do it. Some dogs will bark at the TV when they see a dog on the TV, and some dogs don't care. Now, what you can do is find a show that you can watch that has a dog barking. So next time you're watching TV and there's a dog barking on the TV show, remember that show. And what's nice about Netflix and the shows that we have is that when you pause, it tells you exactly the time stamp of where that dog is barking. So you can rewind. Do we still say rewind?
Yeah.
Do we say go back?
I say rewind.
Be kind and rewind, just like Blockbuster, right? You can rewind or go back to that spot where the dog is barking. And then hit play again, and you'll be ready for it. So it's not a surprise. And that's where I would do the training. So the moment the dog barks, you give her some treats, and you can just start working that way. You can also, a lot of smart televisions now, you can find YouTube videos of dogs barking and just have it stream or cast to your television. And then you can also watch and on a piece of paper, just jot down when the dogs are barking so you know the time that the dogs are going to bark. And this way, you'll be ready for it. Because you know when the dog is going to bark on the TV, and it's not going to be such a surprise.
Makes sense to me. Barb, thank you. Marie in Madison, your turn. Hi, Marie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. We have an almost 3-year-old mini golden doodle who's very sweet, but when we go to dog parks to let him run around, he will bark as we get there and bark at the other dogs in their faces. He's sweet, but he just barks at them. And then after they get done sniffing him, he'll leave him alone. But it kind of freaks out the other humans at the dog park. So we're just trying to figure out if there's another way that we could be doing this.
Yeah. A lot of times I call these dogs close talkers with too much cologne, where they just want to get in the dog's face. And some dogs will bark at another dog to elicit that play, whether they want to get the dog to chase them or get them to wrestle as an invitation to play. So the first thing I would do, can you remind me how old your dog is?
He's about 2.5, about to turn 3.
Yeah. So the first thing I would do is I'd see if you have any friends or family that you can do some training with, because at the dog park, you're dealing with so many layers of arousal. And just excitability. Just the drive there is going to be exciting for your dog. So breaking that down and teaching a dog how to be thoughtful around being aroused. So one of the games I like to play is run through your dog's obedience curriculum, right? And you sort of say, sit down, stay calm, whatever your dog has. And then what I want you to do is sandwich in between those playing tug or some sort of rough play. So having him play tug with you and rough and tumble. So sit, down, and stay are commands where the dog has to have this sort of impulse control. And when we sandwich in that tug of war and play, it creates what I call synthetic arousal. And then when we go back to the focus game, whatever that might be, they have to sort of be thoughtful and be able to flip that switch going from arouse back to focus. So in essence, you're asking, okay, now that you're nuttier than squirrel poop, can you still think? And we want them to be able to flip that switch back and forth. So this way, when you're having your dog meet another dog, the likelihood of them sort of being in better control will be because they know how to think when they're aroused. But there's so many layers of arousal being at a dog park that it might be just too much and overwhelming for him. Maybe going for a nice long walk or doing training before you get to the park. But I'd probably suggest that you work on this with a friend or family member's dog that your dog enjoys the company of and would duplicate the behavior in your yard first.
Marie, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Matt emailed us. Their dog is constantly eating stuff off the ground. The other day he ate something and they gave him pumpkin and milk till he threw up. Is there a way to stop this behavior?
Yes. There are some dogs. So when this is what we discussed earlier about something being a medical condition. Mm-hmm. There are cases where dogs have a type of pica. Pika's eating non-edible things, or, you know, there's some dogs that like to eat rocks or some dogs that really like to ingest sticks. So paying close attention to what your dog is eating. So if they're all edible things, and edible things can fall into the, you know, in the realm of a dead bird on the sidewalk or
bark,
something that they want to ingest. Now, if it's something that's edible, we want to work on an appropriate leave it command. But the problem with leave it, and this I love it when there's threads throughout the training. We talked before about not rewarding inadvertently rewarding bad behavior. So if I have my dog and she has a solid leave it, and I'm bopping down the street, she sees a potato chip bag and she lurches for it. I say, leave it, and she leaves it alone. I say, yes, good girl, treat, treat. Well, I'm rewarding the leave it, but what else am I rewarding? That dang lurch.
Yeah.
So people could inadvertently be teaching the dog to lurch at everything. So one big game I would play is just making sure that, you know the path that you're walking and working on like a leave it or an it's your choice game. You can type it's your choice into YouTube and it'll give you a variety of ways to teach this game. And it's more about impulse control around your dog, just not helping themselves to what's on the street. Whatever, the way Larry described this, it sounds like it could be something else. If your dog is just eating everything, I'd probably look into doing a little bit of a medical exam or something first. But if it's just your dog being a hungry body, then I would work on the it's your choice and impulse control games.
Got an email from Lynn in Stevens Point. She's got a 13.5-pound Welsh Pembroke Corgi, severe arthritis in his knees, but is on, Oh, I wonder, the age is 13.5. Sorry, not the weight, the age. Severe arthritis in his knees, but is on 4 pain meds. He always been well-trained not to potty in the house, taught to ring the bell when he wants to go out. Lately, during the night, he's relieving himself inside on the carpet or even the hard floor. We thus have him sleeping in our sunroom and have potty pads all over the floor. Despite taking our dog out for potty right before we go to bed, he's still relieving himself on the pads rather than holding till morning like he used to. Is he stressed being in the sunroom? Why isn't he able to hold waste until morning like the majority of his life? Anything you can do to change his behavior? That could be a medical, couldn't it?
I would absolutely agree with you. And, you know, this is, you know, a 13-year-old dog is definitely getting into their golden years. And, you know, looking at these little signals of dogs having these accidents and not being able to hold their bladders, it can be a sign of just them getting plain old older. And it could just very well be just him just being old. Now, a couple things you can do is making sure that you just you could withhold a little bit of water before bed. So instead of just giving him water, free rein of the water till before bed, make sure he has one last potty before you go to bed. You might want to set an alarm clock and maybe take him out in the middle of the night. or get up a little extra early so you can beat them to that. One tip I like to make is that the at some major hardware stores, they'll have rolls of linoleum without any cracks or seals in them. And you can buy a piece that you can cut out and then have an X pen, which is like a little folding exercise pen on top of that. This way, if he does have an accident, it won't seep into your hardwood floors or carpet. And you can bring him back into your bedroom where he used to sleep, because he might feel a little alienated. But the other thing I would look into is there's a it's called sundowner syndrome. And it's when dogs just start to get a little bit older. And I would possibly start thinking about quality of life for him and thinking about where he is as a senior dog.
All good points. George Malera, our guest today, professional dog trainer and owner of Divine Canine in Madison. Always great to have.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Yeah, always great to have George with us today. And here we are in our fall member drive, Jill Nadobak with me, and our goal is to help bring you topics. Our goal is to keep bringing topics like dog training to the show and to the airwaves. Your support makes that happen because listener support's our largest source of funding. So I hope you'll give right now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And we have a goal for this hour, which is 20 gifts. And the goal is set up to make sure that we're in a good position to pay for the Larry Mueller Show in the months to come.
Let's meet that goal. It happens one gift at a time. And let's start with yours right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So you might have a life coach or a personal trainer or maybe a dog trainer on speed dial, and that's great. But when you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you get great advice from all kinds of experts. And today was a wonderful example of that. And what's the cost to you? Well, you choose. WPR is your source of helpful information. So support it now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know, we've got a new WPR belt bag, which I thought, you know, that could be a treat bag.
That would be perfect for a treat bag. It's a fanny pack.
Fanny pack.
But
everybody, yeah.
Apparently that's not the cool word anymore. All the cool kids are saying belt bag.
Yeah, well, apparently it's a stylish bag.
It's very
black
stylish.
And a white design. It's the perfect way to keep your essentials close, including your dog treats.
That's right.
And you can proudly display your support for WPR programs at the same time. You can ask for yours when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I never thought about that for Seamus for our, we went to training.
Yeah.
And that would have been perfect for that.
A fanny pack.
That's right. Every time that you listen to WPR, you learn something new. I know I do, whether it's about the news of the day or as a personal anecdote or, you know, one of Larry's anecdotes, although I've probably heard most of those already. It could be history. It could be pop culture. You know, there's always something to spark your interest.
Listening to WPR reminds you that life is fascinating and learning makes it richer.
It does. Life. It absolutely does.
And that engagement you feel when you listen, I think that's worth your support. So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Now, you might be thinking that you don't have to support WPR because somebody else is going to do it. Well, we've been around for years because thousands of people have made the decision to support something that's important to them.
So now it's time for you to make that decision. And I know many first-time donors give $10 or $20 a month. You choose the amount that works best for you. Just give now. It's time at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And it's really easy.
It's super simple. Probably the simplest thing you will do all day long. All we need is your name. You probably know that. Your contact information. You probably know that. The amount you want to give. We can help you with that and how you'd like to pay.
This takes a couple of minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. And those few minutes fund this program, as a matter of fact. Your support right now really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, once in a while, you actually get more than what you pay for, and WPR is one place where that's true every single day. So consider a gift, maybe $2 a day, to support the programs that you love.
Can't really buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. That works out to $60 a month, if my math is correct, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I think it depends on the month, Larry.
Yeah? What about February?
That's right. You get a deal on February. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month makes Intelligent Radio available to the entire state of Wisconsin. I love that. Intelligent Radio. All of Wisconsin and well beyond. You can see why your gift is just so powerful.
And that big impact is accomplished in just a couple of minutes. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And remember, you choose the amount.
And you might be wondering, how much should I give? And it's up to you. I wish that some of my other subscriptions were like
yeah.
that. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into programs that'll keep you informed and entertained all year long.
So make your gift right now and the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you for making an investment that serves your whole community.
Remember, our goal is 20 gifts, and the goal is important because it's set to make sure that we have the funding that we need for the programs that you rely on. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And our goal is 20 gifts by 12:30, so it's coming up. We've got maybe 4 minutes to go here or so. The goal's important. It's set to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs that you rely on. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And what about that new belt bag or fanny pack?
Well, yeah, that fanny pack is pretty darn cool. Well, there's also another name for it, crossbody bag, belt bag. It's basically a bag on a belt, people. Whatever you want to call it, it is the perfect way to carry your essentials. And God knows we have a phone with us all the time. So how wonderful is it to have that phone with you on your belt? And you can show off your support for WPR at that same time. So ask for yours when you give $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is a great time to become a sustaining member. Easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get started at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Just think about all of the things that you learn every single day by just turning on the radio or streaming us wherever you happen to stream us. Isn't it worth giving a donation? WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Paul in Fish Creek says WPR is the best source for information in the state. And you know, Jill and I and Clara and Trina and Taylor, we have a lot of fun putting this program on.
We do.
We learn an awful lot on this program. And a lot of the reason we learn a lot is from you. You call in with great questions. We always have great guests. Guests who answer really well, like George Malera has today. If you haven't given yet, this would be a great time to support this program. We would love it, and I think you'll enjoy it too once you give your gift. Do it right now. Very powerful, really makes a difference. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Thank you so much. If you haven't given yet, please do it right now. I'm Larry Mealer with Jill Nadeau for the Ideas Network.